And I'm going to try to run through the first 4,000 million years of biological history in 10 minutes. We don't know when the origin of life was, but we know when all the planets in the solar system formed, and that was 4,560 million years ago. 4.56 billion years ago is the approximate date of the origin of the solar system. So that's one limit. Unless you believe, like Fred Hoyle, that life came from viruses floating around the universe, which, well, I know he's got a Nobel Prize, but I think that's not a very smart idea. So we have the limit of 4.56 billion years for the origin of the solar system. And the best current prediction for the time of the origin of life on Earth is around about 4,000 million years ago. And the reason for that is that during the first 500 million years or so, the Earth was still forming, and the processes of formation, and this is true of Mars as well, the processes of formation involved the incoming of giant meteorites, planetesimals, they're called, asteroids, bigger than city buildings here, gradually building up under gravitational attraction the final form of Earth. And some of these incoming meteorites were so big, they had so much energy, they actually melted the whole crust of the Earth or boiled off the whole of the ocean, and it all had to start again. So that process went on till about 3,800 million years ago. But it started to tail off about 4,000 million years ago. So around about then is the first time when life really could have got going and persisted. So that's why I say the best estimate, the time of the start of life here and on Mars, is say about 4,000 million years ago. We do have a few rocks that are probably that old, but they're so altered that the evidence from them is very controversial, and I won't talk about it now. The first convincing evidence of life on Earth comes from near Marble Bar in Western Australia, in rocks that are 3,500 million years ago. And the first of that convincing evidence was found by a PhD student from the University of Western Australia called John Dunlop about 20 years ago, I guess it was, and then another PhD student worked on it, and then I worked on it along with some other people. And it comes from this place called North Pole. Now, this is near Marble Bar, but it's called North Pole. And that's because the early gold miners who worked there thought they might as well have been at the North Pole, because it really is in the middle of nowhere, and Marble Bar is the hottest place in Australia, and it's just a horrible place to be. And even though it's not cold, they call it the North Pole. And these rocks are 3,500 million years old, and they're volcanic rocks of various sorts, volcanic ash, and also some sedimentary rocks that formed in the ocean and in lakes. And they're very well preserved, so you can see many of the original features in those rocks. And this is a real mecca for geologists to go to get a window on what the early Earth was like. And amongst other things in those rocks are things that look like this. And you're looking at a natural vertical section through the rocks, and you'll see this folded structure in here. And that's something that when it was growing, was alive once, when it was growing, it would have looked rather like a cabbage. And if you can imagine slicing a cabbage through vertically, you'd see the leaves in the cabbage. They're not leaves in this case. They're layers of sediment that were accumulated by bacteria living on the seafloor, and this thing is called a stromatolite. Now, this is one of the controversial objects I mentioned at the outset, and there's a lot of discussion about whether this is really biological or not biological, and it's exactly the sort of thing we're likely to find on Mars. And one of the things that's happening now is how to figure out, really, if this is a biological object. We're fortunate in a way in Australia that we can go straight to a modern environment, also in Western Australia, and see the same sorts of things forming now. And some of you may have been to Shark Bay in Western Australia. Now, this is a very salty environment because it's very arid and the water evaporates fast. And the huge amount of salt keeps out all advanced organisms, despite it being called Shark Bay, there are no sharks in here. It's a sort of a bacterial heaven because the animals that would normally eat the bacteria are nearly completely excluded from there. So we can go there to get an image of what the earliest Earth was like. And we find underwater stromatolites, underwater. And if we were to cut one of those in halves, we'd see something like that object I showed you from Marble Bar. Again, you see these layers, these cabbage-like layers. That's also 10 centimetres, like the one I showed you before. And each of those layers is built by thread-like bacteria. Anyway, these are microscopic things, 10 thousandths of a millimetre, 10 microns. So these are tiny things. But those organisms are responsible for building those reef-like structures in Shark Bay. And by inference, something like these was probably responsible for building these structures at North Pole in Western Australia. So that's why we can know that a simple shape like that in the rocks was probably made by those sorts of bacteria. But we also find examples of the fossil cells themselves, not very well preserved, but we see the same sorts of thread-like structures. Here we're looking at thin slices of rock under an optical microscope with the light shining through the rock, so we can see the remnants of the bacterial cells or threads enclosed in the rock. These are fossil cells 3,500 million years old. That's a classic paleontology, looking for shapes in rocks. But there are other more sophisticated things that we can do these days, and that includes, for instance, looking at the chemical products of life. And the way we approach these same rocks in Western Australia and everywhere else is we look at isotopes of carbon and isotopes of sulfur, and we look at chemical remnants of the cells themselves, such as remnants of the walls of the cells as hydrocarbons and remnants of the chlorophyll also as hydrocarbons. And even though these things occur in tiny quantities in the rock, they can be measured, they can be demonstrated to be as old as the rock itself, and they give a huge amount of information. These are techniques that work on the early Earth, and there are ways to miniaturise the instrumentation that's required to do these things so that it's quite feasible to do these sorts of analyses on another planet as well. And some of the simpler forms of these analyses have already been done on Mars, and I'll get to that in a little while. Now, those environments that I was showing you, the places that the stromatolites came from and those fossils came from, were oceans and lakes 3,500 million years ago. But I showed you the Universal Tree of Life from biology, and it's telling us that a lot of early life might have liked to have lived at high temperatures. So we should be looking at places like this. Right. This is a pool of near boiling water in Yellowstone National Park in Montana, and these colour zones around here are zones of different sorts of photosynthetic bacteria, light-using bacteria, with different temperature tolerances, zoned away from the hot water. And even in the hot water, there are organisms living. One thing that's been learnt recently is that we don't know what the upper temperature limit for life is. Now again, if we're going to predict things about where there might be life on another planet, we need to know a good deal more about life here. And we don't yet know what the highest temperature is that life will tolerate here. Already it's been found that there are microbes that will grow at up to 113 degrees centigrade, and others that will tolerate temperatures of up to 119 degrees centigrade. And there are firm predictions that the upper temperature limit of life here might be as high as 150 degrees centigrade. So when you boil your water, you don't kill all these things. Fortunately, you kill the bacteria that are pathogenic, but you don't kill the hyperthermophilic bacteria and archaea. In fact, they love it, and many of them will not reproduce effectively below 80 degrees centigrade. And that's really a revelation that's come gradually over the last 25 years or so, and in an accelerating way in the last 10 years. So that near boiling water in the middle of Grand Prismatic Spring in Yellowstone National Park also teems with life. Its whole environment teems with life. But if we were to go there, we would see nothing really that looks particularly interesting. But in fact, there are complex bacterial and archaeal ecosystems in there exploiting just about every imaginable metabolic strategy for life. They, in other words, making their living in just about any way that can be imagined. Biochemical processes characteristic of life, or the basic biochemical processes, were invented back in the early times, and all we've done since then is to elaborate them and add a few details. The bacteria and the archaea did it first, by far. So we should be looking for those sorts of hot spring environments, and some of them look like that big spring in the last picture, and some look like this spring made of limestone, calcium carbonate, also in Yellowstone National Park, where the colours again are bacteria. Some of them look like these high temperature springs on the seafloor, which are called black smokers, where temperatures are up to 300 degrees centigrade. Not that there's any life at that temperature, but temperature of that water jetting out there is 300 to 400 degrees centigrade. These are the sorts of environments we should be looking at on the early Earth to find the earliest life. But we've only just realised that that's what we ought to be doing, and told you this was a progress report, and we haven't really done it yet. But there are some early indications of ancient hot spring deposits with fossil organisms. So that's the picture of what the early Earth looked like more than 3,000 million years ago. There were lots of volcanoes, there were no continents yet. There were hot springs, because volcanoes equal heat, and oceans of water, put the two together, you end up with hot springs with all the sorts of organisms that live around them. And there were these Shark Bay like stromatolites, just like you see if you go to Shark Bay in Western Australia now, both along the shoreline and under the water. That's the vision of what the early Earth was like, and that's what Mars would have been like, we think, at the same time. It's been a controversy for some time about whether there was ever an ocean on Mars, but there are some people now who contend that just over the last few months the evidence has become quite strong that there was an ocean in the northern hemisphere of Mars, and so it could have looked exactly like this. Now I just want to take you up through a couple more billion years of Earth history quickly to continue to make the point that most of life is microbial. And here in rocks that are 2,000 million years old are more of these reef-like structures made by bacteria. And these are just like the things you see in Shark Bay now. These are very common fossils on the early Earth. Sometimes, within them, the cells are of the organisms are actually preserved. We do get a few strange things, but don't know what they are, so there are all sorts of organisms that have probably become extinct. This is about 50,000 millimetre wide in flint-like rocks from Canada. Just to make the point that even on the Earth, we find all sorts of enigmatic fossils that are not interpretable at present, and it's going to be even harder on Mars. We find fossil cells preserved in younger hot springs. I'm working on one up near Arnhem Land at the moment, which is a big lead, zinc and silver deposit in a mine there called MacArthur River Mine. Actually, within the ore deposit there are preserved all sorts of bacteria and other things, and they were involved in the formation of the ore, I think. And this is 1,700 million years old. Again, that's what I want to look for on Mars. And all the time remember that there's a whole host of chemical evidence that goes along with this. And then when you get up to about 600 million years ago, you get the first really totally convincing evidence of algae. There's some evidence older than this, but this is a bit of the oceanic plankton of the time. This is a little cell that was floating around in the ocean about 600 million years ago. And then you get the first evidence of animals about 570 million years ago. These are just burrows in what was sand at the time. You just see these little burrows made by worm-like animals that are a millimetre wide. And then you get the first worms themselves at a place called Ediacara in Western South Australia. It's a centimetre, and you see the segmented worm. And we've gone all the way from the origin of life at 4,000 million years to about 560 or 70 million years ago to get to first convincing animal life. And then there's all the rest of life, dinosaurs and all the rest. But at that time, back about 560 or 570 million years ago, that's what an ocean on Earth would have looked like, Shark Bay again. A few jellyfish, two little worms would have been down here, microbes living on the seafloor. And again, to our eyes, it would have seemed like a barren landscape, but it was teeming with life. So just to summarise that quickly, we've gone from the origin of the Earth back here at 4.56 billion to the oldest convincing evidence of life and to all these other things I've talked about to get up to here with the first animals. And here we are now. So, in looking for life, if we want to use Earth as a model, we don't just look at this bit here. There's all of this before, and most of that, as I say, was microscopic. That this is happening now is not all just idle speculation. It's truly happening now, and as I said at the outset, we've got a good chance to learn within the next 20 or 30 years whether there was life on Mars. There could still be life on Mars. It'll be microscopic if there is. And that will be our best chance within our lifetimes to discover whether there's life anywhere else in the universe. Thank you.